Welcome to the Wise Crone Cottage Podcast with storyteller Kathy Shimpok. Here we'll meet the crone and uncover her wisdom as found in fairy tales, folk tales, and myths. For it is true that stories, as it is with many people, become better as they grow older. Know that no matter how difficult your journey has been through the magical forest, the wise crone always opens her door to you.
In this episode of the Wise Crone Cottage, we'll explore stories of spinning as the wise crone spins the world into existence and continues to help and guide for seven generations forward and seven generations back. We'll focus on Native American mythology and compare and contrast those stories to the grim versions of the three spinning women.
A great while ago, when the world was full of wonders.
There is an indigenous story some tell of an old woman who weaves the earth into existence. She sits on a rug, loom before her, and weaves the pattern of life as we know it. Day and night she works until her task is finally finished. Her creation is more beautiful than anyone could imagine. Several Native American tales refer to that old woman as the creator. She weaves the world into existence, and then something happens. The old woman looks at her work and smiles. She rises to leave, but before she can do so, the Native Sioux say her dog comes and tears out all that was woven. Her faithful dog catches his paw on a loose thread. He struggles to free himself, pulling at the thread and unraveling her work. The creation of the world remains unfinished. In one version, the old woman patiently returns to the loom, picks up the thread, and begins her weaving again. If I could, I would change the ending of the story to this. The old woman looks at her creation and smiles. She walks out of the cave she's been working in for so long and disappears. Now when the thread is pulled, there is no one assigned to make repairs. The creator is gone and chaos ensues. It's up to the elders and the crones to make things right. The oldest woman in the tribe comes forth and resumes the weaving. She has been studying the webs of spiders and knows exactly what to do. Her weaving is not as good as the creator's, but it will do. That is the version I'd share if I could. As Michael Mead tells the tale, a single pull thread starts the unraveling. Either way, she is at the crossroads. Do nothing, and the world ends. Do something, and it begins again. But what to do? It is only through the continual rebirth of creativity that she has a vision of what to bring forth. This is the creator archetype that embodies all women from birth until death. It is not limited to her childbearing years, but goes with her always. She keeps that spark alive within and ignites it to bring forth a new vision, reweaving the world and protecting the future for all generations. There are many stories of old women weaving the world together. Women historically are the weavers, the sewers, the keepers of handicraft, and the builders of homes and families. It is an historical duty, not an evolutionary one assigned to our gender. It's a skill set passed down from one generation to another by the patriarchy that likes to keep women's hands and feet busier than their mouths and minds. And even today, when many of the handicrafts like embroidery and quilt making are being forgotten, women still weave together the lives of those in their families.
But now, a story. Not in my time, not in your time, but in the wise crone's time.
We will now move from spinning the creation of the world to stories that show the wise crone spinning to help others. The story we'll explore is The Three Spinning Women, reported by Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. This story is contained in the 7th edition of their Children's and Household Tales, issued in 1857. But now, a story. So once upon a time, or maybe it was only yesterday, there was a mother and a daughter. This story is like the story of many mothers and daughters, even today. The daughter was lazy. She would never do her chores. She would never do as her mother asked. She refused to learn how to spin, which was the chore that she needed to do the most. It was the task that would bring money into the house. And it was only the two of them, after all, the mother and the daughter, and the mother couldn't do everything. But her mother could not get her daughter to do anything. And then they began to bicker and argue. And after a while, the mother in desperation hit the daughter, and the daughter began to yell and scream as loud as she could. She was quite dramatic. But she was so loud that the queen, who was just driving through the town, heard the crying and asked her entourage to stop. And she found her way back to the house and asked her mother why she was beating her daughter so that she cried so loud that you could hear her all the way to the village square. Well, the woman was pretty embarrassed, and she also felt some shame about the fact that her daughter was so incredibly disagreeable and lazy that she told the queen a story. "I just can't make my daughter stop spinning. She wants to spin on and on. She could spin from dawn until the darkest of night. It could go on forever and ever. I'm poor, you see. I just can't get enough flax for her. And so we argue about her spinning." And the queen said, "Ah, there's nothing that I like any better than the sound of a spinning wheel spinning. I really love it. It makes me so happy to hear the wheels humming and singing. Let your daughter come with me. I'll give her a place to spin, and I'll make sure that she has all the flax that she needs. She can spin there to her heart's content." Oh, the mother was completely satisfied with this. She was full of her daughter's antics and was more than happy to get rid of her. And so, the queen took the daughter away, brought her into a room in the palace, took her upstairs to three rooms that she found that were filled room after room after room, filled top to bottom with flax. "Now, spin this flax for me," the queen said, "and when you're finished, if you do it well enough, I'll see that you have my son, the prince, for your husband. I don't mind if you're poor, because I can see that you're a hard worker. And if you are, you will receive your reward." And then she closed the door, and the girl was left inside all alone. Well, after a bit, the girl became very frightened. She knew she didn't even know how to spin flax. She'd watched her mother, but she never paid too much attention because Who wanted to do that kind of work anyway, she thought. And so, even if she knew how to do it, it would take her over 300 years to be able to spin all the flax in the three rooms. So she began to cry, and she just sat there for 3 whole days, just sitting in a corner. She didn't move a single hand. She just cried. The queen came in to check on her and found her in the corner crying and asked her what was wrong. The girl said she missed her mother and she couldn't begin when she was so sorrowful at not being in her presence. The queen said, I understand, but tomorrow you must begin to work. The girl was alone again, and she didn't know what to do. Who was she going to help? She was in a palace far away from home. There was no one to help her at all. And so she went to the window and started to look around to see if there was anyone she could call out to, or perhaps a way that she could crawl out the window and run for safety. And there she saw 3 old women hunched over, hobbling over toward her. Oh, she looked at them, and they were disgusting to behold. The first one had a huge, broad, flat foot that she drug as she walked. The second one had such a large lower lip that it hung down over her chin. And the third one had a broad thumb that would keep her from doing any fine work at all, it appeared. They stopped outside of her window, looked up at her, and one of them said, Dearie, hey, we heard you crying all the way down the road. What's wrong with you? Can we help you? The girl began to sob and tell the story of how she ended up in the palace with 3 rooms filled with flax that she had to weave, and she didn't know how to do it. What was she going to do after all? Well, the 3 old women just said, calm down. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Your aunties will help you. Aunties will help. That's what aunties do. But we have a condition first. You must agree to invite us to your wedding. And when you do, you cannot be ashamed of us. You must call us your aunties and let us sit at the wedding table. If you agree, we will spin all the flax for you very quickly, too. Well, the girl stopped breathing so quickly. She looked at them, and she could tell they were speaking the truth, and so she said, Yes, please, with all my heart, come right in and start. She let the 3 old women in. She cleared out an area in the room for them to sit, and they began their spinning. One of them pulled the thread and pedaled the wheel, and the second one moistened the thread, and the third twisted it, then struck the table with her finger. Each time she struck, a skein of the most finely spun thread fell to the floor. The girl kept the 3 spinners away from the eyes of the queen, and whenever she came, the girl just showed her some of the thread that she had spun, and so the queen began to praise her highly. But she left her alone. When the first room was empty, the three old women went to the second room to work and finally moved on to the third room as each room in turn was cleaned out. The three women began to leave, and before they did so, they said, "Do not forget what you've promised us. It will bring you good luck." So the queen came into the rooms and saw that the girl had completely emptied them and large piles of thread remained. And so the queen was true to her word and she began to prepare for the wedding with the girl and the prince. The bridegroom was very happy he was getting a clever and industrious wife, and he praised her to everyone he could. The girl told him, "I have three aunties. They've been very, very kind to me. They have helped me so much on many occasions. I do not want to forget them in my day of happiness. I want them to share in my good fortune. Please let me invite them to our wedding and let them be seated right next to us at the wedding table." The queen and the bridegroom said, "Absolutely. Why should we not allow that?" And when the feast began, the three old, decrepit women, dressed in strange clothing, with a foot dragging, with a lip hanging down over her chin, and the third one with a broad thumb as big as a hand, entered into the room. The bride ran up to them and embraced them and said, "Welcome, dear aunties. I am so glad you're here." "Ah," said the bridegroom, "what brought you to this hideous of friendships?" Then he went up to the one with the broad, flat foot and he said, "Where did you get such a broad foot?" "From peddling," she replied, "from peddling many, many, many years of peddling." Then the bridegroom went to the second one and he said, "How did you get that fallen lip?" "From licking," she answered, "from licking the thread." Then he asked the third one, "Where did you get this incredibly broad thumb?" "From twisting thread, my dear, from twisting the thread." Ah, the prince was shocked and alarmed, and he said, "Oh no, my beautiful bride will never again touch a spinning wheel. She must be spared from this horrendous fate." And with that, the young girl was freed from a hateful life of spinning flax. That story may remind you of Rumpelstiltskin, but our focus instead is on the three old women. In another Grimm version entitled Hateful Flax Spinning, a king required his daughters to spend a great chest filled with flax. When he left on a trip, the queen promised to help her daughters, and so she brought in three ugly old maids who were deformed. When the king returned, he found them in the place of his young, beautiful daughters, and he agreed to never ask them to touch a spinning wheel again. In yet another grim version, a mother gives her lazy daughter to a wealthy man in marriage after falsely boasting of her spinning ability. Three women came to her window to help. One was so broad with sitting that she could not get through the door. The second had an enormous nose, and the third a broad thumb. When they appeared as the young woman's aunt at her wedding, the bridegroom was so appalled by their deformity that again he forbids her to spin. Clarissa Pinkola Estes tells an expanded version of this story in her Dangerous Old Woman audio series. In this story, the girl is saved and then falls in love with a prideful soldier. As they plan marriage, she sends a message to the old women who meet up with the arrogant young man on the road. He returns to his fiancée with disparaging comments about the three old women he met on his journey. She tells him they were most likely her aunties and shares with him how they saved her life. But the young man is not worthy, and he can only see the surface of who these women are. In anger, he refuses to allow them to attend the wedding. The girl who remembers her promise breaks off the engagement. The fiancé storms off and then finds himself in three harrowing events to which the old women come to his rescue. Each time the women ask him to let them attend the wedding. Each time the young man promises and then recants. Finally, he agrees and sees their true nature. He is now proven worthy and the wedding proceeds. Estes' version portrays the old women as both helpers and also those who mete out justice, similar to the Frau Holle story.
You may be wondering how I know these old stories, but that is a story for another day. The moral of the story is...
Stories of weaving and spinning fill mythology and folklore. These are the life skills of poor women. Many make a living for their lazy stepmothers and stepsisters, the forgotten aristocracy, waiting for an invite to the ball. Many of these stories share teachings of humility. Athena turns the prideful young Arachne into a spider after she boasts that she can weave better than the goddess. In another tale, the silly boasting of a mother leads to a young woman's capture and punishment. She is asked to spin more than is humanly possible. Sadly, she doesn't know what to do and is rescued by either three deformed old women or, more commonly, Rumpelstiltskin. The young woman cannot spin or weave, even though it's an essential skill to have. In her youth, she lacks more than experience. What must she give up for this knowledge? In one story, she agrees to invite three weird old women to her wedding, while Rumpelstiltskin asks for her firstborn son. These wise old women are mysterious and magical, but appear with many years of spinning skill and experience. They offer their selfless service to the girl. Her test is only to recognize them. Without this skill, she is a child. With it, she can marry a prince. Native American stories speak of Grandmother Spider. The spider spins and weaves the web of existence. She is one of the Earth's creators. In many of these stories, she guides and advises those who face trials and challenges. She would be the first to help the silly girl trapped in a room and needing to spin straw into gold. The Navajo see her as a helper and protector of humans. In fact, traditional Navajo weavers rub their hands in spider webs to absorb her wisdom and skill. Spiders and women use the threads of creation to bring forth life and beauty. Spinning, weaving, sewing, knitting, embroidery, darning, quilting were all women's work, or so they said. Not the great artistic achievements of painting or sculptures, which were the purviews of men for many years, but practical and beautiful skills nonetheless. This is the generative task of all women. The task is to care and protect seven generations forward and honor seven generations back, as the Iroquois say. It is a wise teaching, and one forgotten in the Western world today, that honors only the good of the individual and the present moment. Women have been enculturated to believe they can no longer make a difference, but the wise crone knows better. She calls to all her children to bring forth a brighter future, even if it can't be envisioned today. All we need to do is pick up that single thread to begin. The world comes undone, unraveled to its core. An old woman sits down and starts over. The shuttle moves in and out. She skillfully works long and hard to keep the traditions of the past alive. When the thread is pulled, she starts over again. Sometimes she drops a stitch and a hole forms in the weaving. She's not grandmother's spider after all. This crone is fallible to error. Sometimes she untangles a knot with a pat on the hand. Sometimes she tries to help or give advice. She misspeaks or missteps and the wrong color is used. The pattern is skewed when she does too much. If only a hug or a kind word was needed. The old woman reweaves the world continuously, in war and peace, in times of health and pandemics. If you listen, you can hear her singing. She is telling the stories as she weaves. She will share her skill with you if only you ask. There is much to learn and little time to do so before her dog is at it again.
The wise crone knows it's time for you to leave. Your journey home takes you back through the forest. It may at times be difficult, but no fear. Her final words to you are, remember to stay on the path. Do not leave the path no matter what you see or experience. And so it was, and so it is. Thank you for listening. We'll meet again the fourth Sunday of each month. This podcast has been sponsored by Heart Symbol Publishing, where you'll find a wide variety of guided imagery downloads to achieve your goals and enhance your life.
This is the storyteller Kathy Shimpach. This podcast is narrated by Linda Bennett. Music is The Snow Queen by Kevin MacLeod at incompetet.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Stories by the Brother Grimm are in the public domain.